All right. Hello, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sam Held. I'm a senior theology major at Concordia, and next year I'm going to be going off to the seminary. You know, for some reason, Mark decided to trust me with this sermon, despite the fact that I've never given a devotion that's lasted longer than like 10 minutes, and I haven't ever given a sermon before, but if it's any consolation for my lack of experience, my sermon will at the very least be much shorter than his are. So, yeah. Anyways, this week's Advent theme is love. Luckily for us, our God is a God of love, and his love emanates throughout every single passage of the Bible. Our passage that we will be focusing on this week is Psalm 136, continuing our Psalms theme of the last couple weeks. According to the ESV Study Bible, I know you guys are NIV people here, but just don't worry about that right now. It is possible that this psalm could have been sung responsively, similarly to the way that we do a liturgy. So if you could all open up to that for me, that would be great, and we will read it through first. For every verse, I'm going to read the first portion of the verse, and you're going to repeat back, "For his steadfast love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the God of gods.
His steadfast love endures forever.
Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders.
His steadfast love endures forever.
To him who by understanding made the heavens.
His steadfast love endures forever.
To him who spread out the earth above the waters.
His steadfast love endures forever.
To him who made the great lights.
His steadfast love endures forever.
The sun to rule over the day. The moon and the stars to rule over the night.
His steadfast love endures forever.
To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt.
His steadfast love endures forever.
And brought Israel out from among them.
His steadfast love endures forever.
With a strong hand and an outstretched arm.
His steadfast love endures forever.
To him who divided the Red Sea in two. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites.
His steadfast love endures forever.
And Og, king of Bashan.
His steadfast love endures forever.
And gave their land as a heritage.
His steadfast love endures
forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant.
His steadfast love endures forever.
It is he who remembered us in our low estate.
His steadfast love endures forever.
And rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven. So that is a lot of "for his steadfast love endures forevers." Clearly, the author is trying to communicate something to us here. There's not a definite author, but it's widely attributed that David is the one who composed this psalm. So that is four sections. These are not official, divinely inspired sections, but they're rather just split that way so that we can easily organize them and understand them. So the first section is section 1, which is verses 1 through 4. The first section begins with a proclamation of thanksgiving for Yahweh, telling us that he is the God of gods, Lord of lords, and that he does great wonders. The first verse in particular is simply stating that God is good. It establishes the supremacy of the Lord. With our new translation knowledge in mind, we should give thanks to him because his steadfast love endures forever. Our thanks and worship are not derived from his God status. Our thanks and worship are derived from the fact that he deserves our thanks and worship. If he is not only God, but one whose love does not fail, and that love is for us, then it should be our heart's deepest desire to worship and praise him with our every being. Our next section goes into verses 4 through 9. The second section details the creation account of Genesis 1. Something that is interesting to note, that Genesis 1 does not give us a reason that God created the world, but Psalm 136 seems to do that. Why did God create the heavens and the earth and all of the things in them? Because his steadfast love endures forever. What does a God who is love incarnate do when he has no object of his love? Well, clearly, he desires something to love, so he created us. He granted us lives so that we may love as well. Not only did he create us, but he created everything around us for us to enjoy with him. The third section goes into verses 10 through 22. This is our section about the Exodus, and it's the brunt of this psalm. From that event to when the psalm is written, there are about 400 years in between there, and it is well documented and spoken about throughout their everyday lives. So for the Israelites living in the time of David, this is still the most prominent showing of God's love, power, provision, and presence that they as a people had ever experienced. Following this were mentions of the kings that God had struck down for the Israelites, Sihon and Og. A bit of a refresher for you, Sihon was the king of the Amorites during the time of Moses and the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. In Numbers 21, Moses asks Sihon to pass peacefully through his land, but Sihon refuses and instead tries to wipe out the Israelites. But through God's power, the Israelites were able to defeat Sihon. After this victory, the Israelites began one of their first major military campaigns on the pagan nations surrounding them as a freed people. They were able to progress and capture all of the cities that the Amorites controlled. Then they started to progress towards Bashan, where Og was the king. Og comes out to meet them in battle, but God tells Moses, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have delivered him into your hands, along with his whole army and his land. Do to him what you did to Sihon, king of the Amorites, who reigned in Heshbon." That's Numbers 21-34. And God said Israel won the victory decisively. This is a definite showing of God's steadfast love. Israel is approaching their end of a long walk through the wilderness and showing that they can become a serious power to the nations around them. This is after spending the last 40 years essentially homeless. God is showing his faithfulness to Israel. And here David is praising God for this. Our fourth and final section is verses 23 through 26. And I believe that this section has the most heavy applications for us today as God's renewed people. We then enter this section of the psalm without mentioning the "for his steadfast love endures forever." It says, "To him who remembered us in our low estate and rescued us from our foes, he who gives food to all flesh, give thanks to the God of heaven." What a powerful reminder that is to the Israelites. God has loved them and shown them incredible mercy. He does this because the Israelites are the object of his love. Let's take a look at verse 23 first. "To he who remembered us in our low estate." The Israelites were in slavery. That is a low estate. Then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. That is also a pretty low estate. What does this tell us about God's character? For me, this shows me that he recognizes suffering. How often have we experienced suffering in our own lives and begged God to relieve us of it? Let me tell you, I've been in and out of hospitals for the last 7 years. I have health conditions and injuries that aren't ever supposed to heal, and I have spent plenty of time asking God to relieve me of certain burdens. But God knows what it is to suffer, and that suffering is far greater than I or any of you have ever experienced. God himself came down in human flesh as a baby, talk about low estate, knowing that later on he would experience more suffering than anybody else ever had because of the sins of the whole world were placed on him in that moment. He would die unjustly for our sake. He can sympathize with us. He is not some inactive God who sits on his throne in heaven and waits for us to die so that he can judge us one way or another. No, he sees us. He remembers us. He died for us because his steadfast love endures forever. I'm thankful for my suffering because it allows me to proclaim just how great of a God he is. His promises still stand, promises of a hope and a future of never suffering again. Great is his faithfulness. We move on to verse 24. And rescued us from our foes. Make no mistake, we all have an enemy. And no, it's not your neighbor who wakes up at 6 a.m. to mow the lawn, or the coworker who doesn't do their share of the work. It's not even the one who assaults you or despises you just for existing or calls you names. In fact, those are the people in the most desperate need of our love and attention and care. Those are the people that, despite what they may do to us, we should greet them with a smile on our face every time. The enemy, the real enemy, is Satan in 2 Corinthians 4. That means that his power is real and present and should not be taken for granted. However, it is also important to remember that rescued is in the past tense. There are plenty of other verses in the New Testament to demonstrate this as well. We have been rescued. We have been redeemed. Why? Because we trust in God. The battle is won. Hallelujah. We no longer have to fear or doubt, but rather we can rest knowing that he is in control and has redeemed us through his death and resurrection. Verse 25, he who gives food to all flesh. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. In John 6. These verses are deeply connected. From God giving the Israelites manna to eat in the wilderness, to Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, to him looking the woman in the well at the eyes and saying, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The meal of God is the kind that lasts forever. We should strive to remember that our permanent satisfaction as those who have already received it is already within us. We do not have to seek satisfaction in the things of this world. We do not have to be bound by the material and unchanging, but rather find your freedom in the ultimate gift which you already possess. And finally, verse 26 states, give thanks to the God of heaven because his steadfast love endures forever. The fitting conclusion to our psalm. When we stop to consider all of the characteristics of God, with his steadfast love being at the center of them, all we can really do in return is give our thanks. Thank God for this church. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your friends. Thank God for your ability to worship him publicly. And thank God for the faith that he granted you. The Israelites, despite being God's people, were still corrupted by sin. Many of them had seen the great wonders of God with their own eyes and still turned away. And God punished them for this. But does that mean that his love was not present in those moments? Absolutely not. God takes no pleasure in his people suffering. In fact, his greatest, most prolific showing of his love for his people was still now is through Jesus. A love that comes in the form of freedom and peace, the love that can only be found for a parent for their child, a love that comes in the form of a baby born in a manger who is the one that God's people have been waiting for since God gave his promise to Abraham, a love that is found for me and for all of you. We're going to end by reading this passage one more time. I know it's a long one, but this time I want you guys to respond with, because his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him alone who does great wonders. To him who by understanding made the heavens. To him who spread out the earth above the waters. To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule over the day, the moon and stars to rule over the night. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. And killed mighty kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites. And Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage, a heritage to Israel, his servant. It is he who remembered us in our low estate, and rescued us from our foes. He who gives food to all flesh. Give thanks to the God of heaven, because his steadfast love endures forever. Thank you.